Morning, everybody. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm your host, Sean Benson, and I am on my way, you guessed it, to the track. I'm trying to get in as much driving as I can before the winter comes. It's so weird to me that there's an expiration date on all this fun per annum. It really is. I mean, I did take for granted in Los Angeles the sunny and 72. That said, okay, so last night Emily and I got home and I was whipped. Whipped as in beat, not whipped as in pussy whipped. What do you want me to do, babe? Okay, is this okay, babe? Are you okay, babe? Can I go out with the guys, babe? No, I didn't want to anyways, babe. No, I was just whipped beat. I had such a brilliant day yesterday, and I come in, and then we were planning to make, we had a little, like, 2-minute nap. We normally take big naps, but we didn't have time, and I didn't want to zonk myself out too much, so I couldn't go to bed early last night, which I never do even when I plan to anyways. But anyways, so we go out, and we're thinking, okay, Emily had these recipe ideas, and we've been watching so much MasterChef. Spoiler alert, Arthur wins. What? Did he just tell me who won season 6? And so we were out at the grocery store because we finally convinced ourselves. Okay, so we go out for dinner a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. And part of it is that I'm lazy. It really is. Not insanely lazy, obviously. We've talked about a bit of that. No one's lazy for something they really want to do. Look, I went to bed at whatever, it wasn't that late, midnight, and now it's 5 whatever in the morning, and I'm on my way to the racetrack again. So I'm not lazy, you know. I'm going to go home and teach class tonight. So between pleasure and work, which is pleasure, I mean, I created this program, or at the very least this school in Toronto of acting. I keep trying to correct that because it's called Meisner and I didn't create that. And Meisner's even a school of acting, I didn't create that. But there'd be no Benson Meisner in Toronto if I didn't do it. So there's joy there. And by the way, deep satisfaction. So I'll be up until easily midnight tonight with versions of work. So when people go, oh, you're busy, I've talked about this a bit. Today's one of the days where absolutely, it's all, all of this is pleasure. And, you know, there are nights where I'm not dying to go teach, but I'm not really sure there are. I mean, it's the difference between wanting to, you know, sit with Emily in front of the fire, but still wanting to go teach. So I'm like, I wish class wasn't tonight. I'm pretty lucky that way with that. So where I am lazy is little things I don't want to do. Putting out the garbage or chopping vegetables, making food instead of just... So Emily looks at me and I said, what's the deal here, babe? No, what's the deal? You seem frustrated by our options. Because when we woke up from her little nap, she's like, do you want to just go out for dinner? And I was like, yeah. Who are you asking? It's all I ever want to do is go out for dinner. And then she's just like, ugh. And I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, let's go get groceries and cook together. And she goes, well, I'm really hungry. The recipe's going to take about 2 hours. It's already 7 p.m. And, you know, I'm really tired of beating. I don't feel like eating now and then eating later. And I said, okay, let's go out then. And she goes, well, I don't want to go out because then I just, A, feel like I'm letting myself down because I committed to make this thing. And B, then we're just kind of spending money for food we'd be eating anyways. And again, I mean, I get that, by the way. I get that a lot. The biggest thing I get in that, by the way, and this is why I fucking love this girl, and I believe this is a fairly common thread in my crew, is that she set herself a goal and would feel frustrated. Now, I talked about... Did I fucking... I'm so tired. I don't know if I talked about Yes, I did. Changing my workouts away from the weights. And I think there's 50... Do you know you can do the thing? If so, then maybe you don't need to do the thing. Versus Emily, who knows she can cook, but we haven't been cooking lately. You know, it's sort of like, metaphorically, she hasn't been to the gym in 2 months, and this was the day she was going to start again. I think that's a day where you probably have to go to the gym, but that's not for me to say. And I love going out, so I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. I'm going to talk to my karate teacher. We're figuring out if we're getting together, if he's going to a movie. At this point, we weren't getting together. So we hop. Finally, Emily goes, you know what? I'm going to the grocery store right now. You do what you got to do. I was like, I just have to send a couple texts and, you know, go. So, and again, this is a big one for me, okay? I'm trying to not take my phone everywhere, especially Saturday night at 9 p.m. And this is for two reasons. One is, I don't like when I'm at the grocery store with someone and they're on the phone, or if I'm at dinner with someone and they're on the phone. I'm not talking if we're just kind of hanging and it's like, sorry, I gotta like tie up a few loose ends here. Or, by the way, not even tie up a few loose ends. Like, I actually have to kind of engage in business, Greg, while we're golfing Monday during the day, because the reason I can golf Monday during the day is because I have this phone. So, you know, it's time and place a little bit. But regardless of how I feel about other people, I don't like myself on the phone. I mean, I actually really like the grocery store. I talk about loving the mall, and I like buzz, products, potential. You know, every aisle is potential. And chocolate chip cookies. Did not buy any last night. So I leave my phone, we go out. Now, this is part of the story. This is part of where I'm going. And I think Emily did too. Oh no, she had her grocery list on it, but wasn't quote unquote on her phone. And she had been a lot during TIFF. I had been a lot during TIFF. So there was a calm to it all. And as we're shopping, we're just kind of like, oh, I'm getting emotional here. It was just very romantic. You know, we were picking out stuff for our dinner, for our house. And we walked out, and it's so funny because I was talking last podcast about Red Sky at Night, Sailor's Delight. It was just this red sky. And the air, it could as well have been Halloween. And Emily just looks at me and it was glowing in this red sky. And it was a later red sky, it wasn't a sunset. And just was like, I feel so good right now. And I was buzzing myself. And I was like, yeah, like this. And I didn't say it, I think I just nodded. As much as I talk, I try and talk less sometimes than you might think. And for me, it was the air. It was the crisp. Even right now, I have no heat on in the car and the vent going. And it's a little chilly. I've got gloves on and a sweater, and I love it that way. And I don't know. I mean, this has been one of my favorite summers on record of my life that wasn't at Kitchy, my summer camp that I'm going to next weekend for a reunion. Shout out to Kitchy. But anyways, the vibration up our spines. And then I get home and, you know, Randy, my karate teacher, my sensei, he said, give me a call. And I called him and he's like, you know, we're not going to make the movie you suggested. Mind if we come for dinner? And I was like, yes. Now again, this is why. Okay, I'm not trying to paint a perfect picture of me and Emily. I'm just trying to paint a picture of a perfect night. This is a better way to put it. As you know, we have our shit. We're people. We go up, we go down. But this is part of the reason why I'm so pleased. I come in and I'm like, babe, I invited, you know, Sensei Randy over and his girlfriend and kids, her kids over like like whenever, I can't remember, like hours ago or yesterday, but I kind of didn't tell you. So I told him they can come for dinner, and I want him to, but is that okay? Her eyes lit up. She's like, oh my God, that's the best. We'll have a dinner party. I grew up in a house where if my dad wanted his brother to come from Ireland, the once every 5 years maybe that he'd come, my mom would scream up and down the house about what an imposition this was on her. And, you know, it's painful to remember. I don't even really want to. It sucked, man. Like, it sucked. What the fuck? So what are they supposed to do? The two of them are just supposed to sit and stare at each other every fucking night for their whole lives and not have company? I will say, by the way, that my dad never learned how to cook. And he's a bit almost like me. Well, we'll order pizza in. I guess I'm a bit like him. And now, while I understand the deeper resentment of my mom, she should have just left him if after that many years, that was that big a problem. And it's a tough one, right? Because, you know, she's German and he never learned German, and she did all the cooking and he never learned to cook. Those are two significant and sort of valid resentments she's had her whole life. But everything else that I witnessed about my parents' relationship is that he's really wonderful, treats her like gold, and yeah, they fight. And you know, for her, them fighting is evidence that he's abusive. Because he disagrees with her. And I've experienced this myself, where if I disagree with her, she says, you're attacking me. So it creates a real fucked up dynamic, because you either have to sit and agree with things you don't agree with, or you have to get in a fight, or you have to leave. It's a very untenable position, and it's very unfair. But anyways, my point is that, well, I don't think they should have stayed together. And I especially don't think they should have stayed together and said, we're staying together because of you. My dad never said that, by the way. Anyways, I'm airing some laundry, and I don't mind, because that's what we talk about, and I would talk about this with you in person, because I think it's really important to look at roots. I really do, and I think it's important to share roots. You know, I believe in family. I'm going to Germany with my mom. I love my parents. I had to look at these things honestly for myself and many more before I could actually love my folks and, hey, ding, da-dang, dang, dang, love myself. I'm not going to love myself if I've got this constant, oh, what did I just say about my mom? If you spot it, you got it. I have these constant resentments roiling. And if they're a little valid, that makes them all the more dangerous. This is a fucked up thing for me. If my resentments are valid, I want to dine out on that shit. I want to, because they're valid, right? So if you call a friend or anybody even, like a support group type thing, you know, you might get a lot of nods and absolutely, or I can't believe they did that. But I don't grow from that, you know? I don't get healthy from that. And much like I said, my dad never learned the German or the cooking. So my mom knew what she was getting. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again. Oh, bam, bam. Because after year five, it's on her. It's not on him. Hey-oh, straight up. Same goes the other way with my mom's behavior and my dad going, oh, your mother's whatever. It's like, I'm sorry, haven't you been married 38 years? How are you still fucking talking about this? How has neither of you changed in 38 years? That was 10 years ago, by the way. And they're still talking about the same stuff. And maybe that's a thing. You know, I'll tell you, Emily and I haven't, we have, whatever issues we have, they're kind of the same ones as 5 years ago. So, is that an intrinsic human thing? An intrinsic couple thing? Or am I replicating my parents' stubbornness with Emily, like an inability to alter who we are, and believing that's just kind of quote-unquote how it is? I don't know. And by the way, just so you guys know, I don't have this shit written down. So as I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking of that for the first time in my life. So, you know, I get to look at that now. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to this. Thanks to me. Fucking, oh, the sun is coming up over the crest. It's insane how nice it is. Like, putting on the shades. And it is not a red sky this morning. We're promised sun the whole day. So, that good feeling, that joy. I walk in the kitchen, and you know, that is on me. Like, she would have a bit of a right to go, oh, I thought we were going to kind of have, like, a romantic evening in, which we never, gets interesting, too. We never said we're going to have a romantic evening in. We just said, let's make dinner and putter, and then wind her down, because we were both a bit tired. And at that point, you know, it's like, yeah, I should have cleared it with her before I told people they could, much earlier, by the way. But, you know, last night worked out, and it only got better as we had friends over, and just a beautiful dinner and a beautiful night. And, yeah, played a fun game. I'm going to throw this one out to you guys. Emily is genius at these sort of party games almost. So we went around the table. If you had to use the top three words, not necessarily the best three words, but the, like, first three that are most prominently true, that you would use to describe yourself to another person if you weren't yourself. So if I was like, hey, this is my friend Sean, or by the way, oh, you should meet my friend Sean, he's coming later, and someone says, what's he like? So what I came up with, oh fuck, I'm not even gonna remember these, was intelligent, goofy, and generous. Those were my three. And then when we had to do one more, because once you go around the circle, you know, you hear other people's and you might be like, ugh, I'm more like that, I should have said that. The one I added was intense. And I will say that everybody said those are perfect for you, because, you know, those things are important to me. Obviously, a lot of what we talk about in this podcast is, do you have self-awareness? I don't know everyone at that table well, but I will say the people I knew were spot on. Spot on, Piven! Right, this is Piven. He sleeps with a pig. He's got a pig dog. He sleeps with a bowie knife. And once he cut his own arm off on a deer, spot on, Piven! Padding the fuck up. A little bit of chopper for all y'all. Now you see why I book all the acting parts. Pfft, I didn't even rehearse that. Padding the fuck up. Spot on, Piven! Kobe McLaughlin, that one's for you. So, I am going to lay off the Facebook again, my friends. I know I have this push-pull with this. I'm not going to cancel the account or anything, but God, if it weren't for promoting, like, even this podcast, okay? So I put it up on Facebook. I put shout-outs to, if I remember, everybody I mention. I don't often, especially not on the carcasts. I do always listen to them back later, just maybe not before I upload them. As long as I know I didn't, like, you know, insult Allah, I'm okay to post it and not edit it. So, I might not be a, what do you call it? Not a pioneer. I'm definitely not a pioneer, but I'm not a provocateur politically in a way that's really cutting edge. You guys know I really care, and you know I'm very passionate about that stuff. But I would not take Allah's name in vain or whatever, though. If I knowingly knew that drawing Allah would be a problem for me, I'm not the guy who's going to go do that. That's not my Alamo. And I got to say, I'm really glad it is some people's. That one's not for me. And it's interesting because, like, I wasn't kidding when I said if I was like blah, 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 and someone was like, do you realize that you just committed blasphemy and therefore you could be killed right now? I'd go, well, I'm going to edit that out. There will be a time in my life, maybe. Maybe it won't have to happen. Not everybody has to come to a life or death moment like in the Dixie Chicks documentary. That's one of the most moving things I've ever seen. When Natalie Maines is under the stage and because she dissed George Bush, wait a minute, isn't the whole fucking point is that you died for freedom of speech, everybody, in World War II? Come on, get your fucking heads out of your asses. But somebody wants to kill her? Like actually threatens her with death? She got death threats because she said she wasn't proud George Bush was their president. I'm sorry. So how many fucking of those guys do we need to go shoot now, or at the very least threaten with death? Because I've never seen more vocal opposition to a president. Like, come on, get your fucking heads out of your asses. But again, no one said these people are smart. Fucking assholes. You're going to threaten someone with death because they expressed an opinion? That's kind of what I'm getting at, though. It does happen. You draw the wrong cartoon, you could die. So she is under the stage and they've gotten death threats for what she said. And it's a documentary that's getting this in real time. It's not a recreation. And you're looking at a woman. I've never thought a fucking female singer was cooler. I don't remember the exact scene, but she just said, no, I can't not go up. And it's so funny, because the same fucking bravery and courage that that fucking death threat cunt doesn't have, hiding behind a little note, you insulted my president because he's going to war. Don't even get me started about the Iraq thing. By the way, you know that I've met people who support it, and I'm not even saying that wasn't necessarily, it was done all wrong. It was wrong. You're invading, look at that region now. How's it doing? How we doing over there, George W? The oil paid for that, right? Oh no, it didn't? Blah, blah, blah. Please remember, people, how fucking lied to we were. How lied to you were. You were lied every step of the way about that Iraq. Every fucking step of the way. And now you're being lied to by the conservatives who want to tell you that it's Barack's fault? What? Unreal. The same guys who lied, drummed up budgets that never came to pass about how you wouldn't go into $1 trillion of shit for this. They're the same ones who'll look and go, yeah, Barack really screwed us on that war. And you're the one who'll believe it, unless you don't, in which case, good, because don't. But so, apparently, insulting George W. is such a... And I'm, again, look, this isn't political, okay? Please, this is not political. When I say I'm not, like, I'm not going to tell you guys how I'm voting. I'll tell you who I think is making sense along the way. It would be a weird thing with Harper. Yeah, no, Harper has a track record. I'll never vote for Harper. I would definitely vote for conservative down the road on the right day with the right candidate. I want to be real clear about that. My politics are my business. Sorry, that's not true. I'm making them your business. My vote is my business. Politically, though, this is about a type of thinking. I just say that. You know, Jay Leno was talking about comedians who come out and they go, I'm a social democrat. And he's like, you fucking idiot. What are you doing? Well, get your politics as you go. You don't need to announce it because now half of us are gone. Or vice versa, you know? Like, and I really, you know, I think I've always been kind of like that on this. And that's that right, left, back and forth. Anyways, apparently the whole thing is that you need to support the bravery and the courage of our troops who were willing to die for freedom under our Commander-in-Chief George W.'s order, right? And the fact that you're not proud of what he's sending beautiful young people to go die for makes you worthy of, that little bitch, I'm going to tell her I'm going to kill her because she shouldn't perform tonight. She threatens the fabric of our nation. What? Wait a minute. When you're pointing a gun at her head and she literally has a scope in the middle of her fucking forehead because you're such a pussy, she goes, I don't care. I'm going to sing anyways. And goes and sings to her crowd. What? Isn't that the very bravery and courage in the face of death that you're apparently supporting, but then you want to clamp it down when it happens for real in front of your own fucking... Unless that gunman literally did that to design it to show how amazingly brave and courageous Natalie Maines is, and then go to the world, stop bulldozing her records, you small-minded fucks. At least their album sales went up so that people could burn the records. I think that happened with the Beatles when John said, I'm not bigger than Jesus, but I'm not saying that I'm Jesus or I'm better than Jesus. But he did say that they were bigger than God or Jesus or whatever, the Beatles. And who knows? He's a young rock star. Were they at the time? I don't know. You'd have had to pull that one. But again, there are consequences to the things you do and say. And good for you, Natalie Maines, Dixie Chicks. I'm not going to die over a cartoon, because that's not my battle. And I think that's really what it comes down to. When I was younger, I thought everything, quote unquote, unfair had to be my battle. Wait a minute. Am I describing unfairness in my household? And then I would go out to school, and anytime something was even remotely unfair, I'd be like, look, this is unfair. Very genuinely, I'm making fun of my young self, but it was troublesome for me. Still is. Gray is hard. Black and white is easy. Black and white is... I think it takes more courage to live in the gray of this world, day to day, than it does to just decide you're a jihadist, or decide you're going to fight blindly any war that someone tells you, or just decide... that's one decision. And yeah, it's followed by a lot of stuff, but I really do think it takes more courage to live a good life day to day. To take the big swings. For me, it simply has to do with the idea, you know, when I broke my arm or got my arm broken, the breaking was easy. It didn't hurt. It was the healing, the quiet day, you know, my exercises for that were not dynamic. They were like hold and rotate a can to build the little neurons and tendons in that arm. So it wasn't fucking romantic. No montages of that one. With inspirational songs by Survivor playing, written just for me. That didn't happen. It was quiet. Now my arm works great. That stuff's hard. That takes... I really believe that's the... that for me, that's the courage in my life. You tell me I have to go dive in 40-degree water? Fuck, no problem. Tell me I have to go swim 5 minutes of laps in 70-degree water every day. And I'm like, because now I have to show up, suit up, be consistent. Consistently. That one to me is a lot harder. So if life's tough, man, if any aspiring jihadists are listening, you know, take the high road, which is in a way the low road, the humble road. You know, the idea of blowing oneself up for immediate glory, I think it's a bit egoic. Aside from the lack of, you know, I mean, God, the amount of faith that must take, or how crappy must life be. So, yeah, that daily humility, you don't get to... My life is currently in no way a blaze of glory. And the closest thing I've had to resemble Blazes of Glory is when my first ever TV role was this lead in a series. And it wasn't necessarily the best thing for me. It was too much, too fast. I get that it was also awesome and I was lucky. But I had internal mechanisms that hadn't figured out how to work yet with a simple life, let alone, you know, all the, what is it? It's not even not simple to be a lead on a TV show. It's not simple to get the role. Well, it is simple. A bunch of people just go, that's the guy. It's hard, though, because you can't control that. There's nothing you could do. But what am I trying to say? Just the consistency. That's what I found not simple. These days, that's why work's going well for me, I think, is that it's the simple day-to-day. And it's not meteoric right now. Even when I book my next lead, let's say, I'm going to be happy. It's going to feel great. But it's not going to be 0 to 100. It's going to be like 69 or 75 up to 89. So, yeah, nice improvement. You're smiling a lot more because you went from a high C or a low B to a AA+. Great. But we're already in school. We're already working. We're already getting the grades. You know what I'm saying? When I was 25, it felt like hyperspace. And I think part of it, too, is because I had been to university. And I had sort of like, I mean, I get that everybody has a life prior to working as an actor on bigger roles. But for me, I'd had an extra few years of what you'd call the normal life. So then, like civilian life. So then going into the field of battle, going into engagement. I didn't know my own internal rules of engagement. And so the whole thing, the reason I say all of this is the whole Facebook push-pull for me. It's, okay, I don't feel like I'm growing on that network. I don't feel like I... Like when I can look at the whole world through Facebook lens and come away feeling like I've grown not a bit. If anything, I've reinforced things about myself I don't like. That little anger, that little, oh, that's unfair, you know. All, if you follow me or we're friends, like all the stuff I post can be tinged that way. But I'm not really tinged that way. That's not what me and my friends sit around and talk about. So why am I talking about it all the time with my friends? So that's really, I can go up to the woods. I can sit on 1 acre or kitschy 15 acres, hey-o, and feel like I'm getting the whole world, like I'm part of the whole world, even though I'm not moving or seeing more than 40 people. Whereas I go online and I have thousands of friends. And they're global, and I can see what's happening with, oh my God, they're in Paris. And I feel like I'm seeing nothing of the world. And part of it has to do, again, with the newsroom. There was that brilliant quote where Jeff Daniels' character is talking about the Encyclopedia Britannica being discontinued, not being made anymore, and it's sort of being the end of something important. And the younger therapist he's talking to goes, you can get all the information online. And Jeff Daniels goes, but you have to know to look for it. You don't just flip it open to a page and learn something new. And that is how I feel with Facebook, and that's how I feel with online in general. You know, I'm going to the racetrack. That's where I really figure out what my damn car needs. If I go online, I think I need blah, 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 blah. That guy in Austin has a gorgeous car for him. But at the tracks where I know what I kind of, and then as I come off a set of laps and I'm like, oh, I'm getting a little bit of this over here. Someone goes, I was getting that. That's where you can, now that's where online message boards, you know, information is quite brilliant, but I know to look for it and then I find it and that's awesome. But anyways, there's a real limit. That's why I'm not going to delete the whole profile, is because sometimes I want to be like, hey, Facebook gang, like anyone know where I can find a, you know, horse for rent in Oshawa, and someone will go, hey, I know a person with a farm there. So why would I want to give up that resource? But what I do want to give up is this voice I've created. I don't like the sound of my own voice on that network. I really don't. It's just how it is. It's become narrow. It's become angry in a way that I don't think I am. Now, granted, that anger's part of me, but it's also fed by that. And I know I can pick up any feed I want, but yeah, that's it. So, you know, not deleting the page or anything, but really gonna just back the fuck up from that. And back the fuck up from me on that. Me on that is done. Let's kill that, Sean, and move on. Let's resurrect something else who's a little more fluid and loving and, three-dimensional. You know, that's the thing I'm not getting. Up in the woods, it's three dimensions, man. Staring at a fucking computer screen for stimulation, you know, whether it's porn or whether it's Facebook or whether it's Porsche parts that I can go handle at the track or in person or look at two-dimensionally, a lot of that stuff's losing its stimulation for me. Hard on, not happening. So gotta tweak that. Happy to tweak that. On that note, this one's a bit shorter, but I'm gonna call that a wrap and watch this sunrise a little more. You guys are rock and roll, fucking A, and we'll talk to you soon this week back in studio. I'm Sean Benson, this is Chatting Between Takes, and that's a wrap.